everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go. All right. My heart's like beating the same way. Hey, so good to see you, and I'm really glad you're here. Some of you are new in our church. We're so glad that God has you here and led you here. And for those of us who've been around a while, it's great to be family and just to be together. And today we are continuing the series called Fruitful, which is really about how to become the kind of people that we all want to become, the kind of people that we admire. Paul talks about that as the fruit of the Spirit, which is what would it look like if we have a relationship with God and he's at work in our life over time? What should be happening and what should be growing in our lives? And that is, we should be growing in these qualities. And here they are: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now, when you look at that list, you're like, I'd sign up for that. I want to be more of that. And we've already talked about love. We've already talked about joy. And today we're talking about peace. Now, even when I just say that word, peace, doesn't it feel good in a world like this that is so anxious, so vitriolic, so divided, so tense? Just the concept of peace. I remember being in Romania when I graduated from high school. I did an extended mission trip. This was back under communism when Christians were persecuted in that country. And the way Christians said hi to each other wasn't just hello, it was pacha, which is their word for peace. Every time they saw each other, they would say peace. It was a wish of peace. And it's that kind of peace that we're talking about today, because peace is in short supply. Now, I just got back from a trip that I had talked about before that I was preparing for. It was a bucket list trip, a once in a lifetime kind of thing that I was going to do with my boys, and a heli-ski trip, helicopter ski trip. And when I say heli-ski trip, what I mean is they take you on a helicopter instead of a lift. And a lot of people thought, oh man, you're jumping out of a helicopter, that's so awesome. And I love that thought. But, you know, you don't jump out of the helicopter. It actually lands. Here's just a little tiny flavor. I'll show you more later. So it landed us. And then you go from there. And the idea is that you have powder skiing, deep powder all the time, and rather than a resort. And it was great. But as much as I was looking forward to it, I was also anxious, not at peace. Especially when I found out that my brother-in-law, who's in the ski industry, who's a really great skier, signed us up with a particular helicopter ski company that caters to extreme, advanced, even professional skiers. And he called a professional skier friend of his and said, where would you go? And that's what he picked. And I knew it was going to be over my head. I knew I was in trouble, and I was nervous about it. So I did everything I could do to get ready. I made sure I was in good physical shape. I went to the gym a lot. When I did ski, at a resort, I tried to ski harder, steeper, deeper things than maybe I was comfortable with. Christy and I went early, and we did a heli-ski trip because I wanted to do that with her, but also it was a way to get ready for the more advanced one. This one was, you had to be a pretty good skier, but it was more for like normal, pretty good skiers, and that was great. We had a great time together, and she got to be with the boys a little bit too when they came in for that trip. And then I also got a tip that I thought would be helpful. I listened to a podcast that Michaela Schifrin was doing. She's the gold, just won a gold medal in the Olympics in slalom. She's arguably the greatest skier of all time. I think she's won close to 110 World Cup victories, which is way more than any other skier in history. And she talked about how one thing that she does before every race because of anxiety is she eats a little piece of sour candy, even though she doesn't like sour candy, because studies have shown that sour candy actually retrains your brain or like reframes your brain, so that the sour does. And so when you're spinning in anxiety, a little tip is just eat a sour candy because it kind of resets your brain enough that you could redirect it. That's why when you came in, you got a sour warhead. And if you want to go ahead and take it, if you're dealing with some anxiety right now, just see if it works. Reframe your brain. I went out and got these Sour Patch Kids for the trip. But notice, this is the bag. And the reason it's still intact is I forgot it. I left it in the condo. So it wasn't that helpful. But maybe it could have been, because when we got out, just to give you a little flavor of that other trip, this is what we could video. So this is a more open slope. This is a kind of a chute. So it was a little bit more open. We had to ski in the trees on that one because of avalanche danger. We couldn't be above the trees. It was really steep and really tight trees, but this was a little chute and an opening. So let's go ahead and watch that. You can get an idea. And then here comes my youngest son on a snowboard. He went to the dark side, started snowboarding. So it gives you a flavor, okay? Now that was actually, honestly, one of the more tame parts of the deal, because it was really steep and trees that were really tight, and I just went into survival mode. I couldn't say I really enjoyed that part of the Heliski trip because I was just, I mean, it strengthened my prayer life. That was good, but it was tough. It was over my head. Now that's vacation anxiety, and I had a lot of it. And I mean, I paid to be anxious. I mean, I thought about that. I thought, you know, some people pay for vacations to go sit on a beach. And here I am, you know, doing this. But I made it. I survived. But you don't have to pay in this world to be anxious, right? There's anxiety will find you because we live in a very uncertain world. And therefore, if you're feeling some measure of anxiety, of course you are, because the world is so uncertain. I mean, we are a world at war, and it doesn't just affect us. It affects the world and Christians all over the world and just people that God loves who aren't Christians all over the world. It affects everything. We, you know, you think about, you could be concerned about uncertainties in the economy, uncertainties in your industry. We've got AI and whatever disruption that's going to produce over the next few years. We don't know what it'll be, but it'll be disruptive. Maybe you have personal reasons, uncertainties, health, relationships, your own finances, your own job. You came to church to feel better, and here I am. Making you feel bad, right? Making you, because we all live in an uncertain world. In an uncertain world, it's hard to have peace. In fact, a great question to ask is it even really possible to experience real peace in a world like this? In a world that's so uncertain? And the happy answer is yes. And that's what we're gonna see today. We're gonna see how we can move in an uncertain world from anxiety to find peace. And as we do what the New Testament's going to tell us to do, if we do this over time, we won't just find peace in the moment. We'll actually, over time, become people of greater peace overall. And we're going to look at what I think is one of the most practical parts of the New Testament, certainly on this topic, but any topic. It is just incredibly helpful as Paul writes to the Philippians in an uncertain time. And it's going to be helpful for anybody. That said, before we dive into it, let me say this about anxiety. Some anxiety is about, it has a lot to do with brain chemistry and depression as well. And I've experienced that with depression and in the past. And therefore, going to your doctor for persistent anxiety or depression or whatever is a good thing to do. If it's a brain chemistry thing, then thank God we have that and God's enabled us to have those medicines. We also, sometimes anxiety is caused by things deeper than what we think because of unprocessed stuff in our lives and therapy and all that can be helpful. I'm just saying, I don't want to oversimplify it, But what we are going to talk about, what Paul talks to the Philippians about, is going to be good no matter what. And how do we retrain our brain? Like if sour candy can reframe our brain, that's great. It's a great little tip. But let's go beyond a little tip and really find out what to do with anxiety in an uncertain world to get to peace. And we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 as Paul, who writes a lot of the New Testament, is writing to this church in Philippi that he had started years before. And we have to know, to understand the passage, that Paul was writing in a very uncertain time in his own life to people who were also in an uncertain time. So Paul was in Rome when he wrote it, in prison, waiting trial with Caesar, Nero, who hated Christianity, wanted Christianity stamped out. And he's got the most prominent Christian right there, Paul. And what's going to happen? Paul had no idea. It was uncertain. Now, he'd actually get out of that one, but the next time he was in prison or Nero would behead him. So that's uncertainty. He wrote to the Philippian church that was also dealing with uncertainty. Philippi was a Roman colony outside of the city of Rome. So the Roman Empire was huge. Most people in the Roman Empire were not citizens. If you lived in Rome and grew up in Rome, you were a citizen or a Roman colony. And Philippi was a Roman colony way out in the empire. So the Philippians would have grown up very proud of their citizenship as Romans. But now these Roman citizens in Philippi, in this colony, had become Christians, and that was challenging to the social order, and therefore the Romans in Philippi did not like Christianity. They wanted it stamped out because Christians didn't see their identity as citizens of Rome to be their highest identity, but citizens of the kingdom of God. They didn't worship the emperor. They didn't worship the Roman gods, and therefore they began to face persecution because people didn't want it to spread. And we know they were under financial pressure from the letter, and things were just really uncertain. Where's this going to go? They didn't know. And so Paul says, well, here's what to do. Here's how to find peace, even in an uncertain time. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I'm going to read the whole passage, and then we're going to talk through piece by piece. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the passage. Let's look at it piece by piece. First, he says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, if that's all he wrote, you'd be like, well, thanks. Like some of you are anxious right now and just, well, stop it. Don't do that anymore. You know, that's not helpful, right? But he doesn't stop there. He's going to tell us how to move from anxiety to get to peace. But it is helpful to just stop a little bit because when he says don't be anxious, the New Testament was written in Greek, translated into English, and it's a good translation, but sometimes it helps to bring out the original language because it's just more, there's more there than just you can understand in the word anxious. So that word anxious comes from a Greek word, and the root of that word, merimna, if you care, the root of that word, it means literally to be divided, to be split up. And that's a great picture, I think, of what happens when we get anxious, is our mind and our heart and our emotions become divided. It just goes all over the place. And our mind starts racing. And we start thinking, well, what if this? What if that? What about this? What about this? What? And we may have some faith in there. Well, I know God's in there, but what about this? And it just, we're all over the place. And we begin to spin. We begin to spiral when we have anxiety. That's what it does. And so therefore, I think it's a really great picture, a divided soul, divided mind. We're all over the place. And Paul says, hey, when you get there, and hey, in an uncertain world, you're going to get there. It's okay. But when you get there, you don't have to stay there. So what do you do? Well, we're going to look at that. On the way of what to do, he says, in every situation. And I'm glad he says that because what that means is sometimes, like if I ask you, hey, what are you anxious about right now? Some of you would probably say, well, nothing that really warrants saying out loud because it just doesn't feel that big of a deal, especially when you compare it to what some other people are facing. But what this tells us is everything's a big deal. It doesn't matter. Every situation, any circumstance, it could be tiny. It doesn't matter. It could be huge. Anything in between, God is saying, hey, you don't have to, I get it. You know, in an uncertain world, we're not in control. We're going to start freaking out sometimes. We're going to deal with anxiety. That's fine. Any and every situation, what do? And here's what he says we do. We pray. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That we turn our anxiety into peace, as we're going to see, through prayer. But he doesn't just say pray. That'd be simple. Just say, well, you know, pray about it. He actually is way more helpful and way more specific, and we're going to dive into that too, because this is really practical, and I think you'll really say, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, how do we pray in a way that can get me from anxiety to peace when I'm anxious? He uses four different words for prayer. In the original, again, the original language of the New Testament, four different words. The first word is translated just prayer, which is a great translation because it is a general word for prayer. But don't sleep on that because this is powerful. What happens when you and I choose to pray, it's really talking about the posture of prayer. So that when I, let's say, get on my knees, either figuratively or literally, and I'm praying to God, when I get on my knees and I'm in a prayerful posture, way more than eating sour candy, I'm reframing my brain. I'm reframing my emotions. I'm reframing my soul, reminding my soul that I'm not on my own. If I was on my own, I should freak out. But I'm not on my own because there is a God who hears. There is a God who cares. There is a God who's in control, and there's a God who's good. And I can go to him, and therefore, when I pray, it reframes my brain. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm not on my own. Because when you think about it, a lot of what anxiety is imagining the future without God in it or without a good God being in control of it. As we start, well, what if this? What if that happens? What if this happens? What if I lose my job? What if that? What if this happens to my health? What if this happens to my kids? What if, what if, what if, what if? All the what ifs go through our mind, all the scenarios and stuff. But in anxiety, what we miss is that it's like we're thinking about all this stuff as if God is not there. And when I pray, the two things, this is just for what it's worth. When I pray, the two qualities, especially when I'm anxious, that I focus on with God, is that I remind myself is that God is in control and he's good. Because he is in control and he's powerful, but he's also good, meaning he cares. He gives a flip. He wants what's best for me. He's my dad. He loves me. And therefore, when we pray, it's just a reminder to our soul. So that's prayer. And then he says petition. Petition is where now we're on a way of just not only posturing ourselves before God, reminding ourselves we're not on our own, that there is a God who cares, but now we're beginning to turn our anxiety through petition into request, as we'll see. But on the way is the word thanksgiving. That's the third word for prayer, thanksgiving. Before we ever really vocalize, God, here's my anxiety, here's the thing I please do, we'll get to that, is to just pause enough for thanksgiving. Now that, again, more than sour candy, is another thing that reframes our brain, reframes our soul. When we take some time, even in an uncertain, anxious, horrible time, to actually thank God. Because when we thank God, it reminds us not of what we don't have, but what we do have, and we actually have a lot. Like in thanksgiving, you can think about it in like past, present, and future. God, thank you that in the past, you've always been there for me. Which again reminds our soul, wait a minute, if he's always been there for me, he's gonna be there for me in the future too. But God, you've always been there for me. In the present, God, I'm alive right now. I'm breathing right now. Like when I was up on top of that hill, and I mean that first hill was really steep. And I ski steep things, but this was like crazy steep and trees everywhere, right? And I had to kind of remind myself, hey, I haven't hit a tree yet. I'm okay right now. I'm just gonna go a little ways and hopefully I'll be okay, but right now I'm okay. You know, God, thank you, I'm okay right now. So just, you know, thanking God in the present. And in the future, again, God's in the future. God, thank you that you're in the future. Thanksgiving is so important when we're starting to get anxious and we go to him in prayer. And then he says, present requests. And that's where you get specific, where you turn your anxiety through, you thank God, you remind your soul of God's presence and all that, but then you do give to God what you're concerned about. It's like what Peter says, again, to a very persecuted church, a church in uncertainty, when Peter writes 1 Peter, he says, hey, cast your cares on God because God cares for you. That you and I are not designed to carry cares. We're not designed to carry burdens and worries and anxieties because we can't do anything about them. We're not beasts of burden. It's like there's a reason they don't sell backpacks to put on, you know, three-month-old babies, because they can't handle weight. They can't handle burden. And you and I are like that. We cannot handle the burdens we face. And what God is saying, you don't have to. Just give them to me. Cast your cares on me because I care. And so you turn that burden into a prayer request, and you say, God, here's what I would love for you to do this. My wife has cancer. I would love for her to be healed. If nothing else, just be with us and strengthen us through whatever it is. We turn that burden. My wife does not have cancer, but just an illustration, right? But whatever it is, right? You turn that into a prayer request and you hand it over to God. And what happens is we get something in exchange. And this is a really good trade. You remember when you were a kid, and if you went to school and you brought lunch, you know, maybe you brought a lunch and you tried to trade it for something. This is a good trade, because you trade your anxiety for God's peace. That's what he says next. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That what you get in an anxious situation, you go before God, you thank him, you give your burden to God, you put it in his hands, you remind your soul, you know, I'm not on my own. He loves me. He cares for me. Give that to God. What he gives us, when we give him our burden and our anxiety, he gives us his peace. Peace that doesn't make any sense because our circumstances maybe didn't change, except it does make sense because the God above the circumstances now has it. He has us. We're going to be okay. And therefore, we get his peace. Well, what is peace? Well, peace is the opposite of anxiety. Like if anxiety is being like pulled apart and our brains racing and spiraling, peace, the concept in the Bible, shalom, is where everything is put together, where our soul is at rest. It's like when we were raising teenagers, it's when the phrase was just starting that got used, it's still used, that's still people here say, but it was new then, where the kids would say, our teenagers, and now I do it, but our teenagers would say, I'm good. It's like if we asked anything, like, hey, you know, do you want more spaghetti? I'm good. Or, hey, do you need, I'm good. I'm like, I didn't ask if you're good. You're okay. You want more spaghetti? Well, this is at a very profound level. I'm good. I mean, that we really are good. All is well with my soul. I'm going to be okay. Even if the circumstances don't change. That's what peace is. In fact, what's promised here is not, hey, we pray, we turn our worries, and all the worst case scenarios, our brain is spinning, and we go to God, and he guarantees none of those bad scenarios will happen, and now we're great. That's actually not what he says at all. I mean, otherwise, it wouldn't say peace that surpasses understanding. Because if we go to God in prayer and we're worried that we're going to lose our job, and God says, no, you'll never lose your job. In fact, if I'm going to promote you, you're going to get a better job. And now you're at peace. Well, that makes sense because your circumstances change. And God can do that. But what he's talking about here is, hey, you know what? The worst case scenario or all those bad scenarios you're thinking, they may happen. They probably won't, but something like your bad circumstances may not change. But in your circumstances, something will change, and that's our soul. And that is, we can have peace no matter what. Now, if you live long enough as a Christian relating to God, you'll experience that. And if you talk to an older Christian, it's a great conversation to say, hey, when have you had peace in a difficult time? Because I'm going in a difficult time. And like I thought about that in my life, and it made me think of a time where it was a very uncertain time and a very difficult time where God did bring peace, still wasn't easy, and even maybe one of the best memories of my life. So years ago now, I don't know, maybe it's 8 or 9 years ago. Well, he died then, so it was probably 10, 11 years ago. My dad, that was, we were very close, started developing symptoms of neurological symptoms that were troubling. And we were afraid. I remember a conversation where he said, "Man, Jeff, the one thing I'm going to ask you to pray for is pray that it is not ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease." ALS is a terrible disease. If you don't know what it is, it's a disease where the connection between your brain and your muscles doesn't work anymore. And therefore, you can't control your muscles, and even involuntary ones over time. And they atrophy, and eventually your heart's a muscle, and everything else is gone. That's the last muscle to go. And you can't move, can't do. I mean, it's just a terrible disease. And he's like, "Man, just pray it's not that." I remember when he called me and he said, "Hey, I went to this clinic in Atlanta and ALS clinic. And they said, 'Man, thank God. I'm so glad you prayed. And we've been praying,' because they said, whatever this is, it's not ALS." And man, we were so thankful. But his symptoms kept going. My brother had been trained up in Cleveland at Cleveland Clinic. They also have an ALS thing. And so my brother got him to go up to Cleveland. And in about 5 minutes, the doctors there said, "Hey, I don't know why somebody would tell you you don't have ALS, because you do." And he did. And I remember that phone call. My dad called and he said, "Jeff, I do have ALS." And the first thing he says, "But don't worry, it's not hereditary." And I was like, "Dad, I'm not worried about me. Thank you that you are." That was his personality. But I'm here for you. Like, we're gonna journey. It's gonna be a tough journey, but we're gonna journey through it together. And as a family, we did. And it wasn't easy. But when we were spinning in anxiety, we could go to God. There were things to be thankful for. We found God's peace. We found God's strength. And it led, one of the best memories, and we never would have had it without ALS. I'm not saying I'm happy at ALS, but I am happy for this memory. Like, I remember one night, our whole family was there at my parents' house. And my brother and his family and our kids and all that, everybody was there. And we had put him to bed, gotten to bed. And it was hard to get him to bed. And he was in bed for the night. He was on a breathing machine. He couldn't talk. He was a little bit mobile, but not very much. So we got him ready for bed. So just imagine this king-size bed. And I'm so glad I did this. I just had this thought. I thought, you know what? Let's get everybody in here and just jump on the bed and be on the bed together. And there were, I don't know, 10, 12 of us on a king-size bed. And we all crowd on this bed. And people start telling stories and laughing. And I looked over at my dad. He couldn't talk, but I saw him. It was awkward for him to laugh with his muscle condition, but he was laughing. And so much joy. You just see it. All over is just pure joy. And it was magic. It's just one of those magic moments in life. And as hard as all that was, we never would have crawled 12 of us on a bed together without that. We never would have had that memory without that. There were so many sweet times like that, even in a hard situation. And hey, I look forward to a time where Jesus comes back and there's no more disease, there's no more death, there's no more uncertainty, new heaven, new earth. That'll be great. But in the meantime, we are not on our own in an uncertain world. And what God says is, hey, life is hard. I get it, but you're not on your own. You don't have to be. And you can even have peace. A settled soul, no matter what's happening in your life. And so what I want us to do is I want us to actually do what Paul says to do. We're gonna go through this process. And I want you to think about something that you're anxious about. And we're gonna turn that anxiety just through this process to say, God, help me move from anxiety to peace. And hey, if God changes the circumstance, that'd be great. I hope that happens. But even if not, even if circumstances don't get better or get worse, there's something we can have, and that is God's peace, even in the middle of a storm. And so we're gonna do that through prayer. Now, this is one of those things, if you're not a Christian, you're maybe new to church or new to Chase Oaks or don't really know, or maybe you're kicking the tires of Christianity, please pray with us through this. But but I'm going to give you an opportunity to begin a relationship with God, because it's, when you're not a Christian, a lot of times people think, well, what do I got to do? I got to do all this stuff, you know, I got to be good enough and got to, right, I've done a lot of bad stuff and I've got to make up for it and all, and that's not the deal. With Christianity, God made it really easy. He came for you. He doesn't wait. It's not about us trying to crawl our way to him. He came for us. That's why Jesus came to this planet. And he came to make it, Jesus is God. He came here. He became human. He when he died on the cross, he did that for to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. He rose from the dead. He's alive today. He wants to not only forgive us, but be in our life and invites us to follow him into a whole new life where he changes us and grows us in relationship with him. It's as easy as saying thank you. And I'll give you the opportunity for that, because I don't know how anybody makes it in this life without God. I really don't. I mean, but we don't have to. We don't have to wonder what it's like without God, because he cares for us, loves us that much. And for those of us who know him, we'll also have the opportunity just to go through this process together, okay? So let's bow our heads together and our hearts together in prayer. And first, I want to give you the opportunity to begin a relationship with God. Again, it's not about you being good enough or being religious or anything like that. It's simply just saying, yes, God, he did everything. He just won't force himself. He just asks you to decide, either you're in or out. Either you want to follow him into a new life and relate to him and know him forever or not. But you can say yes right now in your heart. And I hope you will. He does too. You just come as you are. That's the way he accepts us. And then we walk into a new life where he begins to grow us and change us and use us to change the world. And for those of us who know him, this is an opportunity, again, in the anxiety that we feel in an uncertain world. And no shame if you feel anxiety. I mean, God gets it. Let's take it to God. So I want you to just, as we are praying, think about the posture of prayer. That what prayer is, Jesus taught us this, that the kind of relationship God wants is that when we go to God in prayer, he's not just some, he is God, he is exalted, he is above us, he is all powerful, all that, he's holy, he's different, he's better. But what Jesus said is, yeah, when you pray, the relationship I want you to have is I want you to say Abba, which is dad. He's your dad. That's who he is for you. Just like my dad loved me. And when I called my dad, he would answer that phone and he would say, Jeff. And that's God. He loves you more than you can imagine. And in any and every situation, he invites you to come. And so just let that sink into your soul. It's like God on the throne and you coming right up into his lap as a child. And he's saying, I care about you. What's going on? To remind your soul, reset your soul. You're not on your own. And then thank him. Just spend a little bit of time in thanksgiving. Maybe thank him for who he is, for his love for you, for his in-controlness of everything, his power, the fact that he cares, the fact that he's good. Maybe you can thank him that, God, you've always been there for me. You've gotten me through everything I've gone through, and you're here now, and you'll be with me in the future. Thank you. Thank you that I can come to you. Thank you that you do care. And now turn that anxiety, just name it to him, whatever it is you're anxious about, and turn it into a prayer request. Say, God, this is a burden. I don't know what to do, and I can't do anything about it anyway, but you can, and so I'm going to give it to you. And you can pray that God will change your circumstance. God, I need a job. God, save my marriage. God, heal my kid. God, you know, all that's appropriate. But also just say, but no matter what happens, just connect me with your presence and your strength. And let me find your peace, your rest, even in difficulty. And when we do that, God says the peace of God, which doesn't make any sense. If God doesn't exist, it makes no sense, no human sense. the peace of God that transcends understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Guard our hearts and minds. In this uncertain world, it's like we can remember, oh yeah, we're not on our own. The peace of God can help us get through everything we go through, all the uncertainty, because we're not on our own. Father, thank you for your amazing love for us. Thank you that we are not on our own in this world. And we do look forward to the day when Jesus returns, makes the world the way it should be. That'll be awesome. But in the meantime, thank you that you are with us and for us in everything that we go through. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want us to stand, and we're going to pray a prayer together out loud. Every week of this series, the series is in two parts, part one, part two, by the way. Part one before Easter, and then later in the spring, we'll do part two. But today, focused on peace. And the reason we're doing this is because the fruit of the Spirit isn't just about us gutting it out and trying to be more peaceful. It's realizing this is the fruit, the effect of God's Spirit at work in our lives. So it's saying, God, work in my life. Help me be a person of peace. We're not on our own. We don't have to gut it out, just read a book and try to do it. God loves us more than that. And so let's say this out loud together, this prayer. Go ahead and put it up there. God of peace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, fill us with your peace so that it will overflow out of us each day in every way in the week ahead. Amen.